Audio Face. This is episode 166. I tried to change it. I want to throw you a landmine.
I'm Dan.
I'm Sean. This is
an irreverent podcast about the music culture that grossly matters. Hello, audience.
I was straight face, like, oh, I was like, he's not going to cash his watch first thing. And he's like, well, he didn't say hello, humans. Brain does not compute.
No, it was more just like, have you ever like played a racing video game and you start the game, but the first 3 seconds you lag, and so you're like ready to go, but then you start 3 seconds.
You don't have to tell me this. Yes, online F1 2020 online lobbies.
Remember back when you had Spectrum?
Oh, fucking
basically that. Anyways,
we've got hella music for y'all today.
Yeah, we are really coming delivering. We've got singles for like the first time in a month. We've got three albums. What are those three albums?
We've got Pluto and Baby Pluto with Lil Uzi Vert and Future, friend of the show. We've got Power Up by AC/DC. Somehow they still are alive, but we'll get to that
kicking,
later.
Damn it.
And then, well, kind of. Mm-hmm. from Dark to Light by Enoli Chapa. Those are our three albums. And then singles, we've got a bunch.
We'll get to those very, very shortly. As usual, I'm going to also do like the flip and do the B block early. Power Report, we're not doing episode this week because it's bi-weekly now. We're getting more on that schedule. Hopefully we'll have an interview guest next week to talk about kind of the interesting semi-political developments that are going on right now. But go to powerreport.world for all the links to that on the podcast version and the YouTube version. But the YouTube's just on my YouTube channel, youtube.com/DanFromTheInternet, where there's a bunch of clips going up from there, too. Also, AudioFace, you can find us on Twitter and Instagram at AudioFacePod. Make sure you check that stuff out because Power Report's the political stuff. AudioFacePod is the stuff you're here for in this show that we introduced. So now let's go into the singles that we started this week.
So, first one we have Holiday by Lil Nas X. Friend of the show, Lil Nas X.
Yeah.
We actually do enjoy his music for the most part. And
It's
another short little single track because, you know, he's kind of known for doing like 2 minute songs, 2.5 minute songs.
Yeah.
That are usually like, I'm going to make a new category called pop trap or trap pop.
I mean, that's very, like, very not a new category.
It's not a new category, but like, yes, but something that for us to say,
sure,
for Audio Face. Because we're the only ones that matter. No one else matters in the entire music industry.
Mostly matters.
You know, this is true. But it's like, he's known for kind of doing that sound, but it's a decent song for it. So, anything special, but it's
all right. It's like monotone in the Post Malone way, where like it's a good thing that works for him.
Pop star, but the rappers still respect me. They want to know if I'll be last.
But yeah, Holiday's a really short song. It fits with like the holiday season thing. I mean, good for him, mostly for like cementing a Christmas like theme song. So if he survives being just like the one hit wonder of like the 2019-2020 era, then he has one of those songs that just gets played over and over again, like Mariah Carey or some shit. But it's good, it's fine, it's chill. I can see this being played like at a indoor mall by a GameStop at some point back when we have those things, but
right,
sure.
It's decent.
While you're waiting in line for your vape-smoking Xbox One.
Oh my god, I saw that shit. Jesus Christ.
Anyways.
PC Masteries. Next one, we have Bridge by Lightwave by Deadmau5 and Kia SZA. When we reviewed her album earlier this year, she's an artist that I do enjoy a lot, and you know how much I love Deadmau5. First, like, real proper single I've heard from him in a while. He's in, like, little, like, different projects, remixes, other stuff, but not anything, like, really nice and true for a minute. And
yeah, nothing, like,
true
to a Deadmau5 thing, because he's done a lot of, like, Deadmau5 co-productions where he's like producing things. Like there's that thing with the Neptunes we talked about, we've referenced recently. But this is I understand why you say this is proper, because the main version of this is like a nine minute Deadmau5
like a sound I'm like I haven't heard him make in a little while now, which is I'm like, this is solid. My favorite things is when he partners up with female vocalists. I think that's when you get the best of his sound to me.
Yeah.
And it's a solid track. She's perfect on it. It's you know, tried and true Deadmau5, so nothing like out of this world or anything, but you know, I've had it on repeat for the whole week, so.
Lightwave. Yeah, it's a really good track. I like the extended version. A lot of it's like, really again, good. Calling back to tried and true DeadMau5. I do want him to push things a little bit forward, but the song didn't feel like that kind of stale to me for that. It is like a true thing. I think there's enough of like a surprise sort of like twist to it, or like a little bit of a change up, or like a callback to his more obscure-ish stuff that'll keep the people like me and also you who like have listened to DeadMau5 a lot happy in that way.
Exactly.
But yes, it's very good. And like on the Spotify, there's the radio edit, the main version, which we listened to and recommend you listen to, and the alternative mix, which I actually found really nice, even though it kind of copied the bass line from All I Need by Radiohead almost perfectly.
Oh, that's funny. I didn't think of that.
Yeah.
Yeah, actually, it kind of does. So think of it. Well, that's funny. Well, anyways, next one, we've got Separate by Sage
Kelsism. Yes, a friend of the show who I might do an audio face bonus with fairly soon, John, sent this in to me. He's a guy from, I want to say, like, Colorado or that kind of era.
If he's from Colorado, fucks with him.
Yes. Separate the real from the fake, gotta fade away. I'ma make a way, gonna lay them on the way, but I'm BT. Fun be the team, shine bright light beams, highlight light flighting, yeah. Life switch, life scenes, yeah. Stick to advising, all the way is up on the incline speed. They wanna be, gotta keep it a thousand to legit with it. I get stupid foolish with it, stay clear my path when I'm moving.
It's a solid trap song. It's, you know what's really funny? I heard this and I'm like, this production sounds better than Future's production. Or like almost spot on for someone who is really, really small and only has like literally barely any listeners on a month on Spotify at least.
Yeah. It reminds me of SmiNo a lot, who's like sort of adjacent to Aminé, who has that kind of like weird pitchy voice he does in his rapping. Kind of adjacent to Danny Brown, I guess you'd say.
That's
like
sort
of figure you would know. Very fast paced, really interesting in his vocals. I like putting in some like other newer artists that are like small and off the beat and not giving Spotify ransom money to appear in the algorithm easily. So it's good to check out these artists, and this is pretty cool. So Sage Kelzizun, that's K-E-L-Z-I-Z-U-N. Pretty dope.
Yeah, it's decent. It's something I never like. I never liked that style of voice really per se, but it's not done in a bad way or annoying way, because a lot of times when you hear that, because you can get that with there's a bunch of trap artists that do that. Especially if they put auto-tune in it, it just makes it horrible sounding. And we'll put a note in that. We'll get to that later. But done without auto-tune, it's passable to me. So, and within it, it's fine. The production is like, this is hilarious, because trap is easy to make in that regard, to where it really now expose. Like, you listen to that song, and now you're going to listen to some albums that we're going to mention in a little bit, and the production's almost practically the same. So it's hilarious in that regard.
Yeah. You could definitely, like, kind of start out and making, like, trap music, or, like, electronic music for that matter, and with some decent, like, you know, definitely, like, intermediate moderate amounts of, like, watching YouTube tutorials, make something that was, like, of mainstream quality at least 2 years ago. And that's like, a testament to the technology that's out there, so that's pretty cool.
And then last one, we have No Safe Point from Rin the Jewels. It's from Cyberpunk 2077.
And it's, like, what a pretty nice mixture of, like, the idea of Cyberpunk 2077, which never mind being, like, one of the most delayed things since Half-Life 3.
Dude, seriously, that game was supposed to come out like 6 years ago at this point. I'm like, Jesus Christ.
Yeah, and like the film and all that shit. But like the song itself also kind of fits very well with Run the Jewels' current aesthetic.
I love the album. The single cover is awesome. I love it.
It's the
so
perfect
much.
Like fit of both
fit
of the aesthetics.
Everything. Yeah. It is. It is a good song too. It starts off like with a cool effect with LP, and then it goes in. It's a little bit, and then he raps like normally, and then Killer Mike goes on to it. So it's kind of cool, like a little bit. Futuristic styles and stuff, and then Tried and True Run the Jewels.
But even in that Tried and True Run the Jewels way, it kind of sounds like an old school rap song, in that it feels like it's referencing like old cartoon bits and stuff like that, like Doom and all this thing. So the penis unplugged. When the laws of entropy touch, you better dread the judge. Wiser men than us been crushed to find dust. When a fortune cookie dummy unfucked, I just shrug. A note like a broken electrical pole song, but a dud for the scum of the circuitry on the run. Haven't seen the sun with the naked eye much, so the neon is my god and it shine on the night. So it's really just like a wonderful collaboration. Above average from what you'd expect for like something commissioned for a film.
For sure. It's good. And I just have the artwork covers. I love it so much.
Yeah, very sick. I saw some singles from Billie Eilish and Phineas this week, but we can't care because we've got rules.
We've got rules, unfortunately.
But
I saw that too.
Yeah. Let's get into the news. Hoax Corner.
Pandemic Corner?
Yeah. Jeremiah completely banned from Spotify Corner. Jeremiah. Hi, Daniel Eck. Jeremiah is currently in intensive care after contracting COVID-19.
He's on a ventilator. Fuck.
Yeah.
Woo!
There were different media outlets that were saying, like, make sure you keep Jeremiah in your prayers and different things. And then we got posts from 50 Cent, Chance the Rapper, Sean Don, all these other folks who are saying, like...
Yo, this shit's real.
Well, they're definitely saying Jeremiah's got a thing that exists that seems to have killed more than 220,000 Americans and counting. Mm. And, of course, hundreds of thousands more folks around the world, sadly. But... yeah, that's a thing that's happening. Hopefully Jeremiah recovers from that. And truthfully, like, we do know a lot more about this than we did in March. We're like, oh, this is an extremely contagious thing that seems to have, like, a pretty annoying, like, hospitalization rate, if not kill rate. Mm-hmm. So, like, we got to be careful about this. But we do sort of know now that the survivability rate for most people is still pretty good, but it definitely relies on a lot of conditions that we don't fully understand and can be deadly if you don't know about it. So, like, there's that we understand compared from, like, March to November as we go into the second round of lockdowns.
And then Bernard Summer, friend of the show, Bernard Summer, he also, he got COVID, and he is recovering from it. He said he was one of the lucky ones. He didn't get it too bad, thankfully, but he still can't smell anything. So, I mean,
yeah,
same. It's been 11 years. So tell me how that goes.
Yeah, the ordeal's left his voice a bit gruff, but yeah, he didn't get anything too bad, which is definitely
which
really
is good.
Good.
So two of my some of my favorite artists, Yonzi and Bernard Summer, have gotten it now.
Yeah,
which is crazy.
A lot of people, and I know a couple of people who have like caught it but recovered really well. The senses thing is like a really annoying thing. Where you just like lose your senses after that period of time. That definitely really sucks. But of course, that's definitely one of the less horrible things to happen with it, so glad they're making good recoveries. And that does bring us to the guitarist for Deftones, Stephen Carpenter, who's got opinions.
Yes, so he appeared on a podcast, a conspiracy theory podcast, nonetheless. And he advocated for flat earth, anti-vax, and COVID truther beliefs, which is just hilarious. COVID truther, okay, whatever that means. But but he was on the podcast Tinfoil Hat, which is, you know, hilarious. He straight up went on a flat earth rant of saying, I guess a friend sent him a link to a video, flat earth, blah, blah, blah. And he said after he watched the video, he sent homie a text. I was like, all right, bro, I stand corrected. You were right. I was wrong. This motherfucker's flat. Maybe you're just an idiot.
Yeah, you're probably kind of dumb.
If you just watch a random YouTube video and be like, oh, maybe the earth is flat. God, you're severely stupid.
I truly thought we were over the phase where...
Oh, God, no, we're not.
Where, like, you not just the flat earth stuff, but the idea of I watched one YouTube video. I watched a couple of YouTube videos.
That's not going to go away like, for a long time. Yeah, people think they're experts on everything just by watching... like, they'll watch, like, two YouTube videos and think they understand everything with it. Or they'll go into a giant conspiracy rabbit hole, especially flat earth, and I'm like, you are incredibly stupid.
Yeah, and it sucks for the number of folks who are just, like, making YouTube videos, such as myself, that, like, try to be factual with evidence. And it also sucks for the amount of people who are making YouTube videos about things that have nothing to do with politics, like the tech YouTubers and, like, the car YouTubers and shit, who are just like, oh, wow, this is my platform. It allows me to make lots of money with my passions and also happens to have neo-Nazis. It's just like a random just like aspect here that we have to work with. But that's the internet as we enter this next brave new decade.
Yes.
That's tomorrow, and that is it for us today. But the first album we've got to review this week is Pluto and Baby Pluto by Future and Lil Uzi Vert. It's one of those trap collaborations that we tend to get of the year. 16 songs long, 54 minutes long, and
my face doesn't say it all, then I don't know what does. Stripes Like Burberry is one of the worst opening songs I've heard in a long time. I remember I make a three, now I'm curvy. I might pop a
like a wheelie. Yeah, I'm used to the murder off of Philly. Money, man, my money, rubber band, and shit get silly.
I used to drink the caliber, but my plan ain't silly.
I've been looking at that sign, I can't worry. I'm my mama, oh, this sign, can't get buried.
Can I cut this review not short, but faster? I hate pretty much the first 4 to 5 songs.
I hate every single song except the songs that they're not together. Them together might be one of the worst trap combinations since Quality Control. It is...
Quality Control 2.
I would probably let... No, I can't. No, fuck, which is worse?
I just did a lot of editing.
Yeah, no. I'm not gonna let you edit. I'm not gonna say anything. It's just like, which one's worse, Quality Control, like Boat Skirt, or this?
Well, let's walk through this. I'm gonna talk through kind of the context. So we'll kind of
Stripes
think about
like,
it. But also just to say, like, Future is like well known trap artist, keeps making like multiple albums per year,
and he's extremely the most overrated artist.
Very overrated. Lil Uzi Vert came off a pretty good year with Lil Uzi Vert versus the World 3 or whatever the fuck came out earlier this year.
And it was all right.
Yeah, Eternal at Take, Lil vs. the World 2. Yeah. That whole project. That was good, that we generally enjoyed. But them coming together, which happens and can be good, because I was thinking about something that only gets better and better with age, without warning.
Without warning, yes.
Because
amazing.
It just came
it's
out
just,
as a really good collab. And
one of the best trap albums ever made.
I truthfully think that at its best, this could have been a Without Warning if you cut it in half. And literally you got rid of half the song.
If you got rid of half of it and you just...
And rearranged a lot.
If you stomp Stripes Like Burberry onto the ground and make me and let me never listen to that for the rest of my life, I'd be happy.
You really hate the first song.
Because the thing is it does the stupid auto-tune, and they're both terrible with auto-tune. The only time auto-tune was cool, it was when it was Love Is Rage 2 with EXO Tour Life 3. That was the only time I was like, okay, you get away with that. But that was... 3-4 years ago, so stop doing the same shit. But the thing that just bothers me with this album is just, again, Future literally makes the same beat over and over and over and over again. It's like, he released, what, 3 albums this year already? And if you just, you can put half these songs into, it sounds almost like Life Is Good. You just put it in there and it's like, okay, it's the same thing. And it's just, it's quite annoying.
But, sorry, Seas, but he's been like making the same.
I'm sorry, sorry, Seas and Bam. Yeah. I don't understand
why
you think
he's a god,
but he's not.
Three or four songs for the past like 4 or 5 years.
Yeah, he has.
And like,
the only cool song he did, the last cool song he did was FNN. That one kind of goes hard, but that was again like 3 years ago. So who cares? But the funny thing is Rockstar Change and Lullaby are the only 2 like actual passable trap songs in here, and they're each just Rockstar Change is just Future and Lullaby is just Lil Uzi Vert, and they're okay and decent at that point together, because them by themselves is one thing, but them together just doesn't work as a collaboration.
Yeah, Rockstar Change is a very like
Future-y song.
Yeah, it's like the most good, like the best fundamentals of Future.
Exactly.
Where like you have lyrics that you can understand. And then like...
No auto-tune, nothing. It's the beats are fine, that they're clean and crisp.
Yeah.
It's nothing amazing or spectacular, but it's a decent trap song that like,
it shows
people like.
Another thing that I think is the best with Future is this very like clean wordplay. That like he sneaks all these different like very funny things that are also like at their worst just metaphors of the same like 6 themes.
Yes.
But like he sneaks them in throughout the album, and it's really good. But the rest of it is just kind of this very sort of like, oh wow, another 2 male rap artists rapping about trapping and dealing drugs and women and berating women, and oh
like,
wow, just like such
really
a
bad
territory.
Berating women. There's Lullaby, just Lil Uzi Vert's one. He was saying like, she slept with someone older than Snoop, but it's okay because she needs to get her money. And I'm like,
So Lullaby is a different, interesting story because this may or may not be related to the whole thing that Lil Uzi Vert's dating one of the City Girls. But like this,
oh,
this
that's
is
hilarious.
right.
I did not know that.
This just makes the world of 2020 more interesting, and it's one of those things like I have to make sure I don't dip too far into the gossip world of all this shit, because it would get very juicy if you've only heard like us and like you've only heard the City Girls album that came out recently, contrasted with Lil Uzi Vert's work, and just watch the two collide.
But that pussy talk.
it's just an incredibly interesting vibe. But like, yeah, I think together they're both, and like there are some really good nuggets of things that are there too. Since we're skipping around the album.
Yeah.
I think the first time I thought there was some good in the album was around Million Dollar Play.
Shoot it up. You know I'm drinking on syrup, yeah. You know I'm fucking your dessert, yeah. You know my necklace a blizzard. Niggas try to go inside the
city. I thought there was some, like, if I didn't, like, again.
So I think Million Dollar Play is probably the best song on the album of them two together. It's decent. It's nothing. It's like they don't do the auto-tune thing. The both of their flows are good. The lyrics are okay.
Like both their flows, even the both their flows together. I was thinking of it in like an a cappella type sense. They're both like talented lyricists.
For sure.
I think a lot of the times in these albums, the production just does not pull its weight. And Million Dollar Baby is the time when it began to do so, where it like was interesting enough to be like, okay, it sounds different, while also being sidestepping enough to let Future and Lil Uzi Vert sign. So, like, that was really good. And then Plastic and That's It and Bada Bad Bitch and Rockstar Change and Lullaby are, like, all passable songs, especially compared to the way the album begins.
Yes.
But the subject matter is, like, not all that incredible.
And that's the thing, because if they start actually changing and doing other stuff, especially Future, if he starts to try and experiment, try to go and do different styles of trap, try to do different things within... Because he has a really good flow, he's a talented lyricist. If he starts rapping about other shit, other than just trapping, then he could be a really, in my eyes, a really good artist.
But and if he does that more than just like in little bits and pieces,
because
he's definitely done that in bits and pieces throughout his entire discography, but just like, it's never put together. It's like all this, I'm going to do everything at once all the time, but it's only that brand of everything.
Yeah, exactly.
I could put it like this. I'd say, of these songs I would keep, it would be... Get rid of the first four or five. Start with Million Dollar Play. I'd keep, I guess, like, down to Lullaby, because we have to make an album at a certain point. But, like, She Never Been to Pluto's complete filler. Mm-hmm. Off That is at least, like, lit enough to be able to fit that in the beginning of this, like, project I'm doing. And then fuck most of the rest, and then just rearrange it all. Because there's some, like, decent stuff here, but it's just compared to something that is... of a more recent gold standard, Metro Boomin and 21 Savage.
This is Savage Mode 2. Just kicks the door down, stomps on him, and takes shit on it.
Yeah, like
just this the open just running is better than this entire album.
Yeah, running catches you in where you expect the vibe to be, whereas this takes you like maybe not in a good way, leaves you floating in space, but like lacks a sort of.
Leaves you in space with no oxygen left in your tank, so you're just floating there, suffocating while looking at the earth like, this is how I die.
Yeah, it's like, this lack of oxygen feels like scissor. It's just not the right vibe.
Yeah.
The arbitrary scale this week is Trump officials who have caught COVID-19.
Oh.
It sucks. This is like an older list from last month, because there have been more Trump officials who have caught more. But I think... Did Kayleigh McEnany test positive?
I will be shocked if she
has. Oh, yeah, she did. She's clear of it, but she did. She's the White House press secretary. She's the one who's like most visible right now. Remember when Kellyanne Conway was the press secretary? And then we had, what was it? She had like a... Huckabee Sanders.
Oh, yeah, Sarah Huckabee Sanders. I forgot about her.
Like, we had a whole, like, cast of characters. There was Spicer.
Yep.
Yeah, there was Spicer. That was a... It's like we literally had, like, four different press secretaries if there's, like, a just, new like, season rotating. Every single year.
I forgot about Sean Spicer. Holy shit.
It's like Donald Trump just produced the past 4 years. Just goddamn.
By the way, so for me, arbitrary scale, this is a solid Chris Christie.
Goddamn. Lord.
Yep.
New Jersey's Bürgermeister.
I'm not gonna let you edit.
Yeah, I'm just gonna leave. He's gonna leave that.
I'm just gonna leave that there.
That's fine. That's good. We've got some updates on the Sellout Bowl and who is going to be leading that. It looks like this year's Super Bowl, hosted by the Jigga Man himself, will be actually headlined by The Weeknd.
By The Weeknd, which I'm fine with. I mean, he's having himself a year. I mean, he's everything he's touched so far ever been on, his whole album After Hours has been fantastic. I think it's not a bad idea. It'll be interesting to see, because some of his live acts and stuff that I've seen before have actually been pretty good. So it'll be interesting to see what theatrics and other stuff he does.
Yeah, and this is going to be the second, the reason like I made some of the fast like take away references at the beginning of this sort of segment were because Jay-Z, this will be his second year producing the NFL halftime show after his sort of partnership with the NFL. The National Football League, which has had a number of different scandals, in addition to having to rename one of their flagship football teams because of its ties to the population of people that got genocided by the United States. The Washington football team, which again sounds better than most of the football teams.
The Redskins. Like, it sounded like the Chicago Blackhawks, or like Blackhawk was the name of a tribe, and it's different than like a slur. You're not like going over there calling them Redskins. It's like, damn.
I'm just gonna drop this and then leave it there. Compton Tar Babes.
You know what's funny? Caesar and Bam didn't believe me that was their name, and I was like, I'm not kidding. Like, that's not the name. I'm like, I literally played against baseball with them, and it legitimately said Tar Babes on their jerseys. I stepped on the field, and I was like, This isn't real. You actually did this.
Like, it's, and no, we're fine with this. We just keep going with this throughout like mid 2015 and shit, like cancel culture. Yeah. It's like, of course, we're gonna have the Compton team named the Tar Babes. Why not?
I'm like, holy shit.
Absolutely.
I will never forget that. I remember I looked at my dad and I was like, this isn't I'm not here. I'm not saying.
Speaking of some interesting, sort of, I can't believe we're in this sort of world kind of things. There's an artist known as Lil Loaded, who I've frankly never heard of. But he turned himself in earlier this week after a warrant was out for his arrest in a murder case. He released a statement on Instagram, including his mugshot, saying that he appreciates the support. They're going to try to make you guilty whether you're innocent regardless, but they're going to get past this, rip his brother. It's one of those interesting situations because it looks like the whole rat snitch canishes thing. But he's a cute... Go ahead.
So the one thing, can you edit? Can you please put rap snitch canishes right over here?
I would, but I would get like super blocked on YouTube.
Oh, that's true.
It would be really fun. I'll do it in the podcast version, which is why you can also listen to the podcast version of this and get extra musical samples and things like stuff if you're watching on YouTube. But if you're watching on YouTube, cool. Like, subscribe and like, because we got clips and shit. Anyways, the reason he got turned himself in because Lil Loaded is accused of shooting and killing 18-year-old Kalia Walker on the 25th of October. It was a shooting in the Woods neighborhood of Dallas around 2:40 p.m. How are you going to be gangbanging at 2:40 p.m.?
Hit him with the Hennessy. Straight up, just walks up, be like, I did it.
It says that the affidavit says that Lil Loaded, Kalia Walker, and a witness named Cameron Walker were outside Kalia's house when two shots went off. Walker's sister, Kaija, went outside and saw her brother lying out on the street with a gunshot wound to his torso, with Lil Loaded and Cameron Walker standing over him. One of them yelled and called to her 911. So, like, they're outside, there's gunshots, one of them's down, the other two aren't. Huh. It doesn't look exactly sure and set, but this is not Lil Loaded's first brush with violence in recent months, according to Complex. Over the summer, he went on Instagram Live from a hospital bed, captioning the session, "Your boy done got shot." Lil Loaded first came to public with his 2019 song, Block Baby, a.k.a. Sklock Sklapey.
Sklock Sklapey. Sklock Sklingy.
Which... actually, it's not, like, that horrible of a song.
Surprisingly.
But, like, yeah, I was expecting, like, dunk on the shit out of it, but, like, it's perfectly fine. we'll continue to follow this because this is at least a qualifier, not a nomination, but a qualifier for the Rap Stitch Finishes Award.
Yeah.
We'll probably get some news about this in 2021, but we report you decided here on Audio Face.
Mm-hmm. Moving on to our second album of the day, we have Power Up by AC/DC. It is 12 songs, 41 minutes long. It is their first album in about 5-6 years, maybe.
Yeah.
And I'm honestly surprised that they made an album because one of the members died in 2017. One of the brother guitarists, I cannot think of his name. I can see his face with long, straight black hair, but whatever. He passed away in 2017. When they did their last tour, I know that Axl Rose literally had to replace the lead singer because the doctor told the lead singer, if you do not get out of this tour right now, you will be deaf. you leave.
That's Malcolm Young, who was the person
Malcolm
talking
Young,
about.
There we go. Because Agnes Young is the other guitarist, but Agnes Young had to leave the tour because he was suffering from dementia. So he was replaced by someone else on the tour. The drummer didn't even show up because the drummer had some arrests and some other instances and was on house arrest, so there was that. So it's like there wasn't even AC/DC performing at that point. It's just Axl Rose and co, and you don't want to just watch Axl Rose on stage fucking around for like for an hour and a half.
When you said Axl Rose and co, I literally just pictured the Fox News show Varney and co. But like with the Axl entire Rose. AC/DC crew.
Both Axl Rose instead. Time to die! But I mean, Axl Rose, it would be the only artist that could kind of do AC/DC because his voice is also shitty, so he could kind of do that. But anyways, that's a different tangent. Moving on to the music itself. Just honestly shocked that they were able to make a new album. It's just tried and true AC/DC. It's like the most rocky thing I've heard in a long time, too. It's like, it's okay.
It's Rocky Rockerson, but it's just like, it's... bestowed upon us on the glorious day, the like second Sunday of November is the term, like the Thor's sword, of which we use from moment to moment on Audio Face podcast, known as Uncle Rock.
Also known as, this is the epitome of Uncle Rock right here. It's nothing offensive though, it's nothing horrible, but it's like this sounds so much just... This, like, you can put this on and be like, this could be in 1985. This could be their release after Back in Black and it'd be fine.
The only reason why this sounded this literally sounded like a cut and paste, like, could have been released back then in the, like, late 80s, early 90s. The only thing that honestly tripped me up on that is because I've listened to a lot of AC/DC back from that era, and hearing it recorded with, like, modern
stuff, yeah,
is like actually a trippy thing because there's no like of the crackles and some of the other stuff that you hear, like the minor imperfections from recording from that era that I think that make it kind of warm sounding and nice, but you kind of just kind of don't get that here. That's the kind of weird thing about it, but the rest is like, again, like not amazing. AC/DC.
Realize is a solid opener song. I think it like puts you in and you're like, wow, okay, yeah, this is definitely them. It's tried and true AC/DC into that. But it basically just picks that level and it stays at it more or less like the whole album, where it's just unapologetically rock and it just keeps going over and over and over again, which is like...
It's not even trying to do anything slightly differently, but like almost as a stance, like as the course, it's like, of course we're not going to do anything differently. We're AC goddamn DC. We're not going to like mess with our sound because that's what the people
also,
like.
Also, they're in their... I mean, Agnes is in his mid-60s. The lead singer is definitely in his mid-70s by now, for sure. The drummer's got to be in his 60s as well. So these guys have been pumping music for, you know, they started in the 70s. So it's crazy that they still are around. But it's nothing crazy. It's nothing wild. If you are a big, big fan of AC/DC, you'll like it. But anyone else who's like a passive fan or anybody who just likes rock music, whatnot, you'll find some of these songs enjoyable. But the whole album, it will get monotonous after a while for you. Basically, I'm glad it's only 12 songs. It is like the perfect length it needs to be because anything longer would have just dragged on way too much.
I didn't even say it's like 5 minutes too long.
And maybe it's a song too long. Maybe you could have got one of the middle songs and got rid of those and did it, because I like the ending song, Code Red. I think it's a decent, solid song, but you know, it's all right.
Yeah, I say like when we're talking about around the middle, there's like a realm around Witch's Spell, Demon Fire, Wild Reputation. That I think you have some good songs that kind of thematically go together, and it's like very much, you know, like rock and roll music.
Mm-hmm.
appreciate them for doing that, and I appreciate them for like sticking to the sound the extent that they can through all of the years as they exist. But like we do this podcast and have done this podcast about so much different that is in rock music that like the people who like took AC/DC and made it different are now blasé, because there's a whole generation of artists who have like made the generation after AC/DC sound different. So much so that like we are now at another generation, we're on the cusp of the artists who are making that third iteration off of AC/DC different. So like it's such like, for better, you can see like the DNA that is in all of like rock music, because this is like the great grandparent that still exists on the chain. For worse, the family's so big now, there's so much more and better to listen to that you can go out there and do so.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's the old thing with me with Led Zeppelin. I'm glad Led Zeppelin, I mean, obviously it's because John Bonham passed, but it's, I'm glad they stopped where they did, because they're in that time capsule and what they did was amazing. They didn't need to do anything else other than that.
Yeah.
But with like other bands that keep pushing around, I mean, Foo Fighters is another one that when we reviewed their album, it was just like, holy crap, this is the most Uncle Rock thing. They actually just released a single last week too, which we will talk about at some point. I'm sure I'll bring it up. I just remember that right now. But it's, yeah, it's nothing wild. So arbitrary scale this week is...
Trump administration officials who have caught COVID.
Yes.
I'm going to make this, that story that came out, like 100 Secret Service officials tested positive.
Okay. I was going to say this is Hope Hicks, who probably started it all. The first one was Hope Hicks, and then everybody
from
else just started dropping.
Beginning.
Just started dropping off like flies.
Before we get on a list, let's just move on.
Yeah. So speaking of Trump, so Trump's number one supporter, Lil Pump. apparently he didn't register to vote.
Yeah, after endorsing Donald Trump at the 11th hour.
Yeah, going on a whole rant about Sleepy Joe and everything else, just because, you know, all he cares about is money.
Tax cuts.
Tax cuts for the rich, baby. That's all he cares about. He did not indeed register to vote. So he didn't even get to vote for, said Donald Trump, in a Florida race that was relatively important.
Yeah, supervisor for the Miami-Dade County Elections Department, which Lil Pump would be registered because that's where he bought a home in Miami Beach that's labeled his principal residence, and his mortgage records confirm that Lil Pump is nowhere to be found in the voter rolls, unless he did vote, which means he probably voted illegally, which might be something that Donald Trump would be concerned about, unless it was for him.
Yes.
But yeah, you're right. Florida would be a very interesting place to vote and really put your neck out there as a Latino who says the N-word in Florida, who is a Republican. So yeah, he didn't even
vote. So like,
which is
such a bitchy move, because you shill out all this stuff. So you're already nominated for the Hard R Award for that, because you shill out your own people and stuff just for money. Like that's an automatic nomination for the Hard R, because
double
like,
trouble, because like Lil Pump has been got like again 11th hour nominated for the Hard R Award.
Yeah,
for like a couple audio based awards.
Right.
Ago. For Butterfly Doors.
That was pretty bad. This one is because like you turned your back on your whole Latino population and you're just shielded out for money. And now you're going to be nominated for the little bitch because you shield out for everything and you don't even fucking vote. Like,
yeah, like at least stand your...
At least, yes.
not to be all Florida about it, but stand your ground on your political opinions if you're going to state them out there.
Everybody's favorite skirt.
Meanwhile, TMZ reported recently that Tyga's landlord, Tyga has a landlord, is suing the rapper, claiming that he stifled them out of $32,000 in rent when he left the place back in April, but he also damaged the property, leaving gouges in the kitchen's white oak flooring, damaged marble counters, and damaged the wall mirroring and wallpaper, totaling to about $140,000 in damages.
Also, apparently, the landlord claims that Tyga installed a basketball hoop that damaged the driveway and new locks that destroyed the entry door. And they said that the landlords said that Tyga never had permission to install any of that.
And wants more than $200,000 in damages, because it's at least like $150 to fix all the shit.
Yeah.
And Tyga also had a pad in 2018 in Beverly Hills that he refused to pay rent for. So that's a thing.
This guy's a father.
A fucking deadbeat lessee. Anyways, Tyga's attorney, Mike Trauben, tells TMZ the landlord's claims are categorically frivolous and nothing more than a charade to get the rapper to give up on getting his security deposit back. Really?
What? What the fuck kind of argument is that?
I'm suing for damages because I don't want to give back my security deposit, which is almost certainly way less than the damages.
100%. There's no way you're going to have a $200,000 security deposit for that place.
Yeah. If this was so much as just like a wanting to get rid of the security deposit and get rid of the rapper, like just to get to not have to deal with him and give him a security deposit, maybe take a little hit on the damages because like you're rich and you can take maybe a 10K yeah, exactly. hit. But this is 200 racks, dog. Like, come on. He made a comment on his Instagram story saying, "Where's the damage?" Posting videos that show portions of the house in pristine condition. But, I mean, like, he didn't do the whole, like, apartments.com virtual tour through it, where you could see all the rooms and bathrooms and shit. So we don't know what's damaged and what's not. Either way, Tyga, who has made the official song of rape, is also apparently just, like, a really bad person to lend property to.
So he's a shitty person in general, so, you know, not surprised.
Yeah.
Don't have kids with him, folks. Oops.
Among other things. Anyways, NLE Choppa has released From Dark to Light this year.
It's 13 songs, 40 minutes long.
Yeah, and he's released a couple of other things this year. There was one other thing mainly. There's a couple other singles, but there's Top Shotta that came out in August. So a lot of things, and I just kind of didn't want to kind of like, on name alone, listen to it. But like in August, we had our hands full with music-wise anyway, so.
And we try to spice up anyways too and do different things.
Okay, we got NLE Choppa now, so we're equal opportunity here on
Netflix. And this is, yeah, I actually like this album. I'm surprised. It's decent. It's that pop trap pop category that I like to call it. It's that, you know, the throw in the XXXTentacion, you know, with a little less abuse into it for some of the songs where it's that like...
As far as we know right now.
Very true. But anyways, there's the intro thing that kind of plays into the album, but whatever, it's intro, so it doesn't matter. Bryce in the first song, I think is a quite a good opening track for the album. It's like his flow is it just keeps going over and over and over, and it's pretty good. There's a lot in that track where I had to listen to it a couple of times just to make sure I didn't miss anything. There was a part at the end which is hilarious. He's like, "I'm even eating vegan. Like, I'm going over to these vegan restaurants. I don't go to Chick-fil-A, even though my vegan place is closed on Sundays. But fuck that shit. It's bad for you." I'm like, "Whoa."
I think
it's even
the other way around. Just like Chick-fil-A is closed on Sundays anyway, so fuck it. My vegan place is open on Sundays.
And I was like, "Whoa." All right. Pause for a sec. This guy just went on a vegan rant. All right, I like it already.
He's going in.
He's going in hot. Yeah.
I'm a little new to NLE Choppa, so maybe I don't know this, but grapes are his thing. And so Picture Me Grapin' is a third song on there. I
mean, he's vegan, so.
That I got to.
Allegedly.
I'm sure. And I just like, again, the word grapin' is just not something I very much enjoy to say. But it's a very interesting, like it has almost like an Anderson .Paak level of groove to it, but that's like just the way it's, but like Anderson .Paak is like a fully instrumentally full, like fleshed out thing.
Oh yeah.
Whereas this is just like, it sounds like an Anderson .Paak type beat. Gripping, I'ma squeeze it till it pop. You know I get around, I get your pants down and then I rock. Pull a nigga, I'ma pull my pants down, keep on my socks. Jamaican nigga, she be feeling on my head, she like my locks. I put her hand on my cock, I told her, suck it, don't stop. Hey, you can call me, tell me, I got the drink up in my belly. We sit on them, got the pop it, know you got the message. We ain't about to talk it, bitch, we about to spoke it. Pull up on them, then we cross the tape and white. Yeah, exactly. You're taking the style, but this is just like in very much the confines and construction of a trap, lightly trap and B song and album.
Mm-hmm.
Which is very good, I really like. It's a good, like, again, gets that flow there.
Yeah.
It's upbeat, it's peppy, has, like, some range and variety to it. So, very much enjoyed that. You continue through other songs, like, and it's very feature light.
Because you have Moonlight with Big Sean, who, I actually liked Big Sean's album. And there's a song, Why Do I Stop, which I've been listening to a bit this year.
Wow.
Which I'm surprised.
You're going to court pack that?
I'm going to court pack that. Yeah, I'm going to court pack that that wow. album probably. Maybe just a little bit, just for that song.
Oh, wait, we did review Detroit.
I'm pretty sure,
didn't
we do that? Didn't we do that, Detroit 2?
Yeah. We did. Just so, oh my God, yeah, so much of my life, just like.
Oh, yeah, and also that album was long as fuck, but the opening track was very good.
Yeah.
But anyways, I actually liked Big Sean and LL Choppa together. I think they complement each other very well. The thing that is very different to the Lil Uzi Vert Future album that we reviewed earlier is their voices are so much better. Like, they can actually rap while holding a pitch, holding a tune without much effect, barely any effect at all for both of them for
no
that
need
part.
For auto tune.
And then Lil Choppa in general has a flow, has a voice that he doesn't need to do anything with it.
Yeah,
which is just so much better from a production wise to do and to hear in general.
I'd say like Future is a 7-8 out of 10 rapper, and Lil Uzi Vert's a 7 out of 10 rapper, and Big Sean I haven't made my opinion on, but Lil Choppa is like an 8 out of 10 rapper.
Yeah, I could get
on board with that. As far as like skills with your bars and your lyrics and your flow and not repeating, and like overall just like abilities, with MF Doom being like a 15.
Yeah.
But
and
like,
then,
yeah.
Then 21 being like a 10.
Yeah, 21 being a 10. Old Dirty Bastard being like 16. I literally listen to Old Dirty Bastard tracks sometimes when I'm running. I'm just like, this one.
It's just like, how?
It's like Trailblazer.
It's just like it's ridiculous.
None of these motherfuckers would be able to do this shit were it not for Old Dirty Bastard. Literally.
Very
anyways. Speaking of, NLE Choppa has a pretty hitter song called Taliban. I promise you, we keep the conversation relevant here on Audio Face.
Yes.
And no, it's just like a really, like, even though it's not a very feature heavy album, that's a very like a good deliberate choice to make on here,
yes,
because it's really just letting the lyricism kind of speak and go and flow through it, and it's pretty chill. But I think my favorite lyrically speaking on here might be Body Catchers.
Body Catchers for me too.
It's like a straight sort of like it would come out of the style and vein of Savage Mode too, where it's like, okay, this is just about trap and killing the ops in the streets, like kind of vibe.
Yeah.
I don't know shit, I can't tell you nothing, bitch. I came up off robbing and hustling. I got them bodies, but I can't discuss it. If I see you off, I'ma kill him in public. We are the body catchers. I'm a leaf, a fuck, nigga land on a stretcher. First row, I was just in the nosebleed. Niggas say that they know me, but niggas say that I'm a whole bitch.
Has like very clever wordplay in there. Instrumental really catches it. It's even like a slower song than what you would expect. Almost like Trap and B, but very much not Trap and B in style and what the lyricism is actually about. But no, like very, very good, and just like has like an artistic level quality to it.
Yeah, there is, I forget which song it was. It might have been Twin Flame right before Body Catchers, where it was interesting where he went on a little rant of with against trapping in regard where he said, why do we objectify women?
Yeah.
Why do we do all of these things? Why do we say they need to do this for money? They need to do this. They need to please us, blah, blah, blah. And he goes in on people like fake flexing on trap and stuff as well in a whole song. I'm like, holy crap.
Yeah.
All right. He's going in on stuff that we've been ranting about on Your Face forever. It's like, why do you always objectify? And it's nice to hear someone actually going out for women. So feminist and elite.
When you leave at the house, make sure your skin up. God made his most valuable stuff so we can be hard to touch. Pearl at the bottom of the ocean. You ain't no rocket dust. You ain't got to know no rocket science. No, you don't need every nut. I'd be damned if I see my daughter make her only fans, you a queen. You don't need no bands to make your ass dance. Who a grin? I ain't trying to fit no fan, but y'all I want mans. Not saying do romance, but black women, y'all more than that. We gotta find a way to empower back where the glory at. Real women had a nigga back, why he go get the sack? Told my queen if she manifest, she can be where Oprah at.
I had an interesting point with that. So Twin Flame is a very good track, because a lot of it starts like a pretty like thought out sort of love, almost like, not just love, fleeting love, but
yeah,
like, this is my marriage, who I'm settling down with kind of person. And a lot about how you have those previous emotions from heartbreak in the past and then also go into what you want for the future. And a lot of where he kind of kicks that off into is like, I'll like snap if my daughter makes an OnlyFans or something like that. But it's like, it's coming at this sort of objectification and over-sexualization thing, not necessarily from the women should be able to do what they want to do perspective of it, but like there is this my idea of what is prideful and what is respectful to do and behave as, and this is where I believe it should be, which is like a fine line, because there is that over-objectification, over-sexualization thing that lets you exist there, but there's also this, it blends into like black, like, what would I call it? I mean, like, Hotep is the word for it, but like it blends into this like black people are this divine sort of thing. We have to like behave in this like Christian family hierarchy. It's like black conservatism, essentially.
Yeah, it's like, so it's, you can't be gay either.
Yeah, and so it's like, it's a fine message if it's like, we as male rappers don't need to always be talking about this stuff.
Yeah.
It's a much more questionable message as like, you as female rappers don't need to be talking about this stuff, while male rappers over here can also like talk about this stuff. It's like a little bit kind of iffy for me, but like, I'm at the point where that's not going to make me hate or like the song that much. It's just like, I'm not going to read that much into fucking Ali Chapa's political opinions.
No. It's just a nice difference, because every other goddamn trap album this year, male trap album, it's just been the normal trapping and objectifying women 24/7 as
almost all the other
as Baby
ones,
Pluto was. As we just reviewed, where it's like, that was the entire goddamn album. I'm like, okay.
Yeah, and that's the entire persona of Future and Lil Uzi Vert, who are two of the biggest artists
exactly
trap wise. So it is very good, like you said, to see that very different. From Dark to Light is the name of the album, so like that kind of shows the dichotomy between the two of like that sort of like showing the both of them that you have there. So it's a little bit smarter there in a album theme. Moving on. Body Catchers, we talked about a bit. So
yeah, and I think it was kind of, to me, the album felt top heavy because the bottom half was more true and true trap, and it was decent production. It was like, it wasn't just Future, it was just the same thing over and over again. Like, Hunter Grapes, I thought was a pretty solid song. I like it where it would pause for a second and just be like a freestyle flow for a little bit and then get more into a beat and then more freestyle back and forth. I thought that was pretty cool. Before that, you have Hear Me featuring Ink, that I thought was also a pretty solid track as well too. It reminded me of like some like early 2010 style of trap, where it's like that in between R&B/trap/trap and B, like getting into that very beginnings of it, and it felt a little bit like that, so almost like a throwback style, which I haven't heard too much of. And overall, I did enjoy the album. I think it ended well with Paradise. I thought it was a pretty solid song at the end. But it just got a little too trap heavy towards that bottom half for me. So the top half was fantastic. Bottom half, if he mixed it up with a little bit more of those songs like Bryson or Picture Me Grapin', which I don't like that word either. If you do some more of those songs into this album, I think you would have had a very, very good album if you put that in there. But then it just kind of lackluster towards the end. But overall, a pretty good effort.
Yeah, like cut a couple, make this a drop, move it around. So
if you want,
so like
exactly
the end
if you
catches
do that.
The beginning thematically. Yeah. And you've got like a better thing. But there's a lot of stuff to think about in this album. There's a lot of a different perspective in here. And I wouldn't have expected that from anyone who has like three letters in the beginning of their name.
No.
So
exactly. Or tattooed on their neck.
Yeah. So good on that. Arbitrary Scale this week is our Trump officials who have caught COVID-19. And I'm going to, there are so many of them. I'm going to give this Mike Pence's spokeswoman, Katie Miller,
so random,
who is also Stephen Miller's wife.
That's true. He is. So, I want to give this, I'll give this a Melania. I'll give this a solid Melania.
Melania.
Yeah. And then she went on a whole tangent with him, or with one of her friends, like, this is pretty bad.
He's like, I hate this shit.
Ever forgets. So you know what we'd like to do on Audio Face? We always like to end it on a fun note. So Jesus Christ.
We've got a couple of things here.
Oh god. So apparently there's a thing called the Sound Beamer One, which first off that also I don't like that word. I don't like the sound of that either.
Sound Beamer. Like Sound Boomer. And this is good because I am actually in the market for new wireless headphones.
So there's a this is a new device that can beam music into your head without headphones.
Yeah.
This sounds like some straight up, like, either UK or US / Nazi shit in World War II, where they're trying to, like, do sound beams to kill people.
No. You know that thing they're talking about that, like, the New York Times and everything tried to make a big rush about in Cuba and China, where all these diplomats are, like, getting these phantom, like, headaches and strokes and shit from, like, radio waves? This sounds like that, but this, it uses, like, a 3D sensing technology to create, like, a sound bubble for the user with the 3D audio of their choosing, and it uses a sensing module to locate and track the position of your ear in that room, and sends audio over ultrasonic waves,
which
builds sound pockets around the ears. Like, it sounds interesting, and it's basically how, like, you know, Bluetooth works, and, like, sending radio waves to things to receive on your ears. So this is, like, the logical next step. I just, like, don't understand, like, where's the box that beams the sound? What are the things in your ear that beam the sound? Is this essentially just Bluetooth all over again, if you're doing it that way?
Apparently, but it's supposed to have nothing in. It's supposed to just straight up beam into your
head. Oh, yeah, this is directly into your head.
Directly into your head.
With no earbuds or brain implants necessary. So does it do it with other people or groups of people? Like, how big is that sound bubble that it makes for you?
Can you move around with it? And there's a lot that is in question into it. I am not going to test that.
Yeah,
that's how you get Elon's chips in your head.
Yeah, Neuralink is a similar thing to this, although as long as Sound Beamer doesn't get, is this like the M series or what? as long as Sound Beamer doesn't get acquired by Bookface, then this should be all good. But we always like to end AudioFace on a fun note, and what's a more fun note than Grimes getting cheesed on by Eric Andre before announcing her pregnancy? Speaking of Elon Musk. And that was a very weird way of putting it. I did put it that weird way for a reason, and that's because I'm not a pervert. That's literally what happened.
No, deadass. Like, so I read this article, and every little thing of this article made me extremely uncomfortable. Because, all right, we already know that the Eric Andre show, like, he likes to do weird shit to his guests. Like,
that's the goal, just torturing his guests,
literally. But she was like, asked him to be on the show, and said, you never have any female music artists. And he's like, probably because I torture people on the show. And she's like, yeah, but I won't be tortured because
Grimes.
Reasons. Because crime. And he's like, all right, sure. And goes on, and she's like, yeah, do some weird shit to me, sure. And then later on, she announced pregnancy, and Eric Andre is like, wait, you made me torture you when it's pregnant? She goes, yeah, it was fucking awesome. That kid is going to be so fucked up. XRE-XA-12 SR-71. That kid is going to have a horrible childhood. I already know it. It's going to be hilarious. I feel bad for it already.
Yeah.
What's your mom like? Well, she got tortured on a show.
She got tortured on Adult Swim.
She volunteered for an Adult Swim torturing session where she got hot nacho cheese poured on her while she was racked up like she was in a Tudor England.
It's like, so what does your mom do? Oh, you know the company SpaceX AT&T? Well, a long time ago, they used to have this company called... They used to have this show on TV. It's like, you know, the thing before Neuralink.
Jesus Christ. Help my life.
And it was like a half of a cartoon network called Adult Swim. This has been AudioFace, a very morbid, horrifying look into the future. Make sure you follow us on Twitter and Instagram, AudioFacePod, so you can see all the stuff that we're doing. Should be really cool. Sean can be found on Twitter and Instagram at SWSuarez. I can be found on Twitter at DanFromTheWeb, on Twitch at twitch.tv/DanFromTheWeb.
That's new.
On Instagram at DanFromTheInternet, on YouTube at youtube.com/DanFromTheInternet, because I have a new thing I'm doing in a different order now. Just the way you flipped the switch on me in the beginning of this episode, the entire show can be found at audioface.show, and youtube.audioface.show is where you can find clips that are uploaded almost every single day of the week from the podcast.
Yeah.
It's really fun. We've got some really fun things happening for the rest of the month of November, which should be great. And then after November is December, where we have the court packing episode. Take notes, Democrats. And then we have the AudioFace Awards. We got a lot of plans for that. It should be very interesting. I'm very excited for y'all to join us.
Yes.
And so we can't wait for that. Take care. We'll see you next week.
Bye-bye.
Cheers.